Hi guys, on today's episode we're talking about Square's 50 million Bitcoin purchase, the UK's the UK FCA's ban on crypto derivatives, Zach's got lightning news, Zach's also got a DLA update.
DLC.
Alright, DLA. Forks. And the Bitcoin price. Okay, so kicking off Square's 50 million Bitcoin purchase, guys.
Yeah, I guess obviously that's great news, I think, from industry perspective. Let's just cover some of the stats and details of it. So it was a $50 million OTC buy.
Which equated to like 4,700 Bitcoins?
Yeah, around that was it, I think. So Jack did put out some detail of how they went about it, which me and Zach were having a read on last night and this morning, weren't we?
Mm-hmm.
And it was interesting to see, and he's been quite open about it, which is really good, and it's done mainly via OTC, all by OTC ballots. But it's up to about 1% of their balance sheet, which again, might not seem significant to some people because it's tiny, but at the same time, I think it's just another public company that is now making the move into putting Bitcoin on their balance sheet. So the significance of that alone makes the amount irrelevant, I think, in my
opinion. Yeah, being a public company, they have to tread carefully with these kind of things, take time if they want to do large amounts. So 1% was probably the easiest to get through fairly quickly.
Yeah, I was listening to the DePonts podcast when he had Michael Saylor from MicroStrategy about their purchase, and listening to how they had to go through it in order to buy that amount. Yeah. That was really interesting. You don't realize it's been like months in the work.
Yeah. Yeah, I think there was a lot of, on Twitter, there was a lot of people trying to pressure Jack and Square to actually get Bitcoin on the balance sheet. Was that earlier this week or last week? And then I think people are thinking that was the pushing thing, the key thing that did that. But I think the reality is, you know, these guys are a public company. And they can take a lot of time to do these things in the background. So it's likely been in the works for a while there, I think.
Happy coincidence, I think.
Yeah, I think it is a very well-timed coincidence. I'm wondering if Jack actually pushed it along quicker, maybe to speed that process up because of the Twitter side, because he thought he'd just get on the ball with it. But I think it's a great thing, and I think, you know, a lot of these companies out there, obviously public companies, it's a great thing for. Private companies is a slightly different scenario because they may not even shout about it as well, because they wouldn't need to some extent. But companies that have got cash in the bank, effectively, negative interest rates with the banking side are starting to kick in around the world. We've seen that ourselves firsthand. Some of our business bank accounts are looking to charge negative interest rates, and that's things that we don't even want to deal with. So I think we are in a point in the world right now with current coronavirus crisis. UK again looks like it's going back into lockdown, which is not going to be ideal for a lot of people anyway, but also from the financial perspective, it's going to be a potential killer again for a lot of businesses. And some of the businesses, obviously, then that do have the cash in the bank and don't want these negative interest rates and they're looking to put it elsewhere. Bitcoin obviously seems to be starting to become the more popular choice. I think Bitcoin companies like ourselves, obviously, we've already been doing it for years, as of quite a few that I've spoke up recently. So I think it's going to become a bit more of a popular thing going forwards.
Yeah, you can either pay to keep your fiat in your bank account, negative interest rates, or stick it in Bitcoin, watch it move.
Yeah.
What's the risk? Is the risk, is the downside risk of Bitcoin obviously come down? Yeah. But, you know, the upside risk, in my opinion, far outweighs the downside of your fiat sat there and negative interest rate.
Yeah. And we obviously saw this with MicroStrategy, as Molly mentioned. That was a few months ago now. How much of their balance sheet did they? It was like 60%.
It was 60%, I think.
So they had the long term of Bitcoin in mind, but also short term, their share price had a little bump. Following that purchase.
Twitter's wasn't quite as big. Squares wasn't quite as big a bump, was it? It was about
2%,
I think, which wasn't particularly significant, but it's interesting nonetheless. And we're going to start to see that snowball effect, I'm sure, in the coming months and years.
Any what do you call it, guesses on who's going
to
be next?
No, yeah. I've been asked that a few times already by people. No, I think, obviously coming from the UK perspective, I've got a few in mind. There's a few in the background that we're aware of, and they may move. They may already have moved and not telling anybody about it, which I know of some, but you know, it's their place to tell people, not us. So that's up to them to tell people. So it is happening in the background, whether it's public knowledge or not, this is happening.
I did a Twitter poll. Well, I answered a Twitter poll this morning of who do you think is going to be the first FANG company to do it?
Okay, that's interesting.
I said Google, but I don't know what you guys
think. What was the outcome of the poll so far?
It was pretty close. I think Amazon was ahead, and then Google was second. Facebook were last.
Yeah.
See, I would have thought Apple would be last. They're so anti-crypto.
Apple have a lot of money.
Yeah, Facebook. Yeah. Facebook as well. I'm obviously trying to do it with Libra. If anyone, anyone remembers that.
All right, Libra. Libra.
Cool. Should we move on to what's up next?
Next topic: the FCA, their ban on crypto derivatives.
Jones.
That caused quite a stir earlier this week.
Yeah.
Especially the mirrors. Do you see the mirrors headline?
Yeah.
You can't buy Bitcoin anywhere.
Yeah.
In the UK.
Yeah, which they did. I think they updated it now. So they updated it with my comments, actually, which was good.
Way to scare them.
That was a terrible headline.
Gotta get the clicks.
Yeah. but yeah, unfortunately, I think, yeah, it's been an interesting approach. It's obviously not good that regulation are clamping down and completely banning any form of Bitcoin activity, which is a shame. So, you know, I sit in this weird, it's not like a black or white
limbo kind
answer
of
or opinion on the current situation with that. The ban is only for some form of derivatives around Bitcoin. I think we're looking at certain companies that do offer that. So whether they're offering leverage, CFDs, future markets, things like that, and that's again to retail customers, not to professional traders or businesses. I think they're perfectly fine. So it is going to affect some businesses, some larger than others. But, you know, I'm negative in that respect. Like, maybe they shouldn't have done that. But I appreciate that this FCA, you know, they're trying to do the government doing what they're doing. They say they're trying to protect the country, the people. And I understand that there is people that come into the space and end up trading all sorts of shit coins with X amount of leverage on, which is not ideal because people can lose money quick. I know people that have lost money quick doing things like that. So yes, that's a positive in my opinion. The big negative for me, sorry, I'm just rambling on here about this one, but the big negative
get
for me on this one was the 97%. So CoinShares, the guys, ladies there, they put out, they've been working with the FCA, as far as I'm aware, quite closely over the last year about this particular piece. And they've ended up, they expected, I think from their comments, they seem to expect that it was not going to go ahead and it wasn't going to be banned. And the opinions from 527 or something like that, people that put their opinion back to the FCA, all opposed this ban, and or 97% opposed the ban. 97% opposing a ban of a particular thing seems crazy for the government to just turn around, not change a thing. As far as I'm aware, again, they haven't changed a thing from what their original proposal was.
Yeah.
So they've not changed a thing and not took the comments on board at all. And I appreciate that's not like, you know, it's not a vote of who of what gets banned and what doesn't, and 97% should win, but it's the point of that 97% of people now that have put their opinion across and spent the time and the effort to do that, all of a sudden now, going forwards, are they really going to care to take the time and effort if the government are not going to listen to them? And that's a big issue for me, I think, on that.
Yeah.
The government has not listened at all.
Yeah, a lot of people think this was reactionary from the BitMEX news as well, but it's been in the pipeline for a year now, I think. And people have thought they did it because of the BitMEX stuff, but no, it's been in the pipeline a while, and it's an interesting one. Anytime leverage is involved, you've got to tread carefully, I suppose.
I think it feels like they used the BitMEX as the answer.
Throw it out there, quickly react.
But yeah, reality was, as Zach says, it's been in the pipeline for a long time. And there's been people, as say there, 527 people have put their comments forward with 97% opposing it. So it's, people are fully aware of it. It's just unfortunate that they have reacted in this way, which, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's a real kicker for CoinShares as well, because if they've been working with the government or, you know, been aware of it, for the government to then just come out and be like, no. Yeah. And for that, for CoinShares to not be aware that that was going to happen, because they, from seeing on Twitter and in the media, they had no idea that was going to happen either.
Yeah, building a business model around something like that to get slapped.
You can find a list of all the 520 odd respondents in the report, and there's a few exchanges in there and Bitcoin related companies, which 97% of them disagreed with it.
This doesn't affect, from like CoinQuant perspective, obviously this doesn't really affect us. There's nothing of significance.
Any place where you're actually buying the Bitcoin and you can withdraw it, like ourselves, it doesn't affect them at all, because you are buying the Bitcoin. So any places where you're buying like CFD derivatives or ETNs, I think is it?
Yeah, ETNs, so yeah, it's business as usual for us here, cracking on. It's negative on one side, positive on another side. It's a little bit of a grey area, let's say.
The companies affected haven't got long either. January, isn't it?
Yeah, which is actually, yeah.
So a bit of a heads up would have been nice for them, I suppose.
Yeah. So even though, like, you know, some of these companies could be our competitors or whatever, you know, we're not. I think we see a lot of the time in this industry as well, we don't see it as anti-competitive side and things like that, where we hate our competitors. We actually talk to a lot of our competitors quite regular, and we're hopefully friendly with them. Hopefully we come across friendly with them. But yeah, this, we're in this together. We're trying to drive Bitcoin forwards, and that's part of all this. And this is unfortunately a little bit of a kick and a blow to the industry, and in particular some of these companies that are affected by it, which is a shameful.
Yeah, but another day. Just another day in space.
Another day in Bitcoin.
So we've had things worse than this before, so it's not the end of the world for
Bitcoin. It's only the UK as well, not to forget Bitcoin's global, and is what it is.
It'll be old news by next week anyway.
It will.
Cool. Zach, you want to talk about
Lightning. So anyone running Lightning and LND, there was a vulnerability reported this morning for 0.10 of versions of LND. So they're recommending everyone upgrade to the 0.11, and they're going to fully disclose the actual vulnerability on the 20th of October. So this is just a kind of shout out to, if you are running a Lightning node LND, make sure you're upgraded to the latest version.
I'm running a Lightning node now.
Oh, you are?
I kind of am.
Are.
Does that include me?
I think yours is LND. Yeah.
It might be on the latest version now, though, anyway.
I think it will, because you did it recently.
Cool. You guys will
check
for it.
We can check that later, yeah.
Yeah.
Molly's been trying to set a, helping us set a node up, a Lightning node up recently, which has been good fun.
Yeah, it's been exciting. It's running a node, haven't been in the space for so long, not coming from like a techie background. It's something I hear you guys talking about quite a lot.
Yeah.
Decided to venture into that. Not as easy as I thought it was going to be, but you know, it's a learning curve.
Yeah. I think we're still early days, aren't we?
Lightning's going to get there.
Yeah. It can be complex at first, I think, set a node up in general, but then obviously with the Lightning piece on top as well, it can get complicated, but over time that's going to get easier. We're only coming up to 3 years into to Lightning being on live network. Give it time.
Yeah. I'm up and running, that's all that matters.
Yeah. You've got channels.
You've got channels.
Got my guys there to help me. Cool. DLC.
Okay, So if you guys tuned in last episode, I did a little intro on DLCs on the Bitcoin mainnet and what's going on there. So we had a big long Twitter thread by a company called Atomic.Finance in the last few days, which was an interesting one. It looks like they were trying to do something similar on Ethereum using wrapped Bitcoin, DeFi, all the buzzwords. They did a big long Twitter thread about basically how they're moving over to Bitcoin, pure Bitcoin native, and some of the downsides of Ethereum, and why they made that choice essentially. So they said things such as, you know, lack of consensus on Ethereum, high gas fees, and then the whole ETH 2.0 uncertainty of when it's going to happen, if it's ever going to be released. So they finally seen the light and moved over to Bitcoin. And all their work from now on is going to be purely on DLCs, hopefully working with companies like Shoredbits, like I mentioned last time. it's good to see companies like this not waking up, but realizing everything can be done on Bitcoin. Like I said last week, what all these shitcoins are doing can be done on Bitcoin.
Yeah, I think that's always this. This is great, sort of, in my opinion, seeing these companies slowly move across, and it echoes this sentiment I've always felt and pushed, which is always the altcoins are a test bed a lot of the time for Bitcoin, and that's kind of the way I see a lot of them. They're experiments and test beds for technology which could potentially be introduced into Bitcoin in the future. Bitcoin's slow and steady development, as we touched on last week again, for a reason at the end of the day, because there's such value there and such an infrastructure there, you have to take it slow and steady. Ethereum, more recent, obviously, is it 2 months now running? Their fees have been higher than Bitcoin's fees on the network for transactions, which it's been done all due to the DeFi push has been a big part of that. And as we saw back in 2017 with CryptoKitties, I think CryptoKitties are trying to make a comeback at the minute as well. I saw something the other day on that. But these things, you know, Ethereum's not ready for scale yet, and yet it has the functionality to some extent to allow these things to be built and thrown on there, and we're seeing them cripple the network, and the network's not ready. These things have to be done slow and steady. They can't be rushed in the way that a lot of altcoins end up doing, because they're trying to move quick and fast and break things, and, you know, the old sayings of that. It's good to see that.
It's good to see a genuine company that's not just trying to exit scam and make loads of money. They're kind of believing their product they want to build, and now they've realized, why would you build on anything else but Bitcoin? The underlying network of Bitcoin is, you know, the most secure. Can rattle off loads of reasons why you should use Bitcoin.
It's substantial as well, building a product that actually is a real world use case and something of substance, where most of, you know, it feels like I'm slagging off all the Ethereum projects and stuff like that, but a lot of them are just like, you know, with the DeFi, with the yams and the pizza, and, you know, does anybody know what any of them were even for, and what was the point of any of that? It was just kind of like, you know, it's apart from a way to someone to quickly make a quick buck and make money quick. There was no real world use case or real world problem they were solving, or real world substance there. So I think the real world substance effectively getting built on Bitcoin slow and steady again is the key for me at the minute.
Yeah, I'm still waiting for someone to explain to me what, in one sentence, what DeFi does. Because I put out a tweet, guys, a couple of months ago now, and not one person could explain to me.
No. Well, they don't. They're in it for a lot of them are in it for the money that are on there, and they're just, you know, they were joining in, jumping on the next hype, and hoping to make up a quick buck on something. But once they've bought in, that's the whole hard part. Once they've bought into yams, they want to tell everybody else about yams because they need the price to go up. So they've got this vested interest at that point, and at that point it becomes a emotional decision of how they talk and spread the word, rather than a sort of sensible, logical decision. Unfortunately, DeFi is not, there's no such thing as DeFi really at the minute. It's not decentralized. They all have kill keys and kill the service when they want and whatnot. Anyway, that's a different story for another day.
It's just the next big buzzword in the industry. We've seen it, you know, with ICOs and all that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Cool. Last but not least, price. Been kind of boring recently. Boring, in my opinion.
We've had a move yesterday, slightly.
Yeah, 2% nice
now. Yeah, not significant.
Whether that's related to the Square news or not, I don't know what you guys think, potentially, but
potential.
Possibly. Yeah. I think we've, again, it comes in patches, doesn't it? We get see that from Coin Corner perspective again. You know, we get influx of signups and buys, and then it kind of settles down a little bit, and we come through phases. I think at the minute, current phase is probably settling down a little bit on registrations and signups. when I say settling down, it's still strong numbers, but not as high as it's been sort of the last, say, five or six months. This last month or so has probably been steadying up a little bit. But generally, when we get that again, I know this, you were touching, Molly, weren't you, on, was it Rao Powell's tweet about the volatility?
He tweeted about the volatility, about the fact there's going to be a big price movement because it's been, I'm not good with the analytics, but it was that he tweeted about the fact that the volatility had been less than 20%, I think, for
a certain period of time.
Yeah. I'll have to link the tweet. But typically follows that, a big price movement.
Yeah. I think there's the sentiment around the sector again at the minute where the industry is very, very bullish again, and we're starting to see, like you say, the stats,
yeah.
facts and stats are kind of showing, yep, we're in a bullish movement and pattern, and hopefully that's going to continue going forwards. But I think just in general, the sentiment around companies, individuals, obviously with the Square and the MicroStrategy news and everything else that's kind of going on around the world with Bitcoin, it's all positive and it's all moving in the right direction. We've been over 10K now for, I've lost track of days, must be in the 70s, 75, 76 or something like that. Above 10K, as I mentioned last week, 10K starts to become feeling like a baseline, which is good. And even with all the bad news we've had, it's still, you know, we're back at about 11, just under 11K, aren't we, at the minute?
Yeah.
Which is incredible. So it's showing this
resilience of,
yeah. yeah,
news doesn't affect it as much. As it used to. We said that last episode, you know, a few years ago, any news article would send it flying high or,
yeah.
or down
yeah. the other way. But the Lindy effect as well is another good one. It's the theory that the longer something lasts, the more confidence it gets, you get in, or you gain in the product or the technology as such. So I think that's beginning to have an effect, in my opinion, there. We're starting to see that a lot more with Bitcoin. It survived so long now, even with all the doubters, that we're at a stage where, you know, even the doubters got to be doubting themselves now. And if they're not, then, you know, they're just stubborn, I would say.
Yeah, stubbornness. Think, yeah.
The likes of Peter Schiff and you know, he's so invested in gold that he has that emotional pull to try and persuade people that Bitcoin's terrible. And it's, you know, if you keep shouting about something long enough, it's similar to the things, what was it we were touching on last week with the models, and a model successful till it isn't, and, you know, somebody's successful, someone's incorrect until they're correct eventually. And, you know, at some point in, you know, 40, 50 years, if Bitcoin dies, then Peter Schiff will be right all along. It's so it's, if someone shouts about something long enough, then eventually they, you know, they might become correct. They might not still, they still could be incorrect. But I think Peter Schiff's got to that stubborn point now, hasn't he? He uses it for social clout, I think, more than anything as well.
Kind of awkward that his son is into it, though. Yeah. That didn't obviously go off very well.
No.
I do feel like Schiff trolls a little bit, just to wind the industry up.
Yeah, yeah.
He's clever now.
Yeah, yeah, he's using it for clout, more than anything. Cool.
That rounds up this week, guys.
Yeah, we didn't touch on, because we were going to start touching on Lightning. I know Zach touched on Lightning about upgrading, and obviously we've briefly touched on setting up a node for Lightning node for Molly, but we are busy in the background introducing Lightning to the exchange piece, so our customers can start using that, which we hope to have out soon. Unfortunately, we just, in this industry, you get distracted left, right, and center, and you start the week out with good intentions. By the end of the week, you've not touched any of them good intentions you have planned. But that's coming soon for the TM.
Exciting.
Yeah.
Cool. Thank you, guys.
Thank you very much.
Perfect, guys.
Have a great weekend.
Peace.